and where would I be without my theme song? You probably wouldn't even recognize me. Recognition, what an important thing. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And I was very touched today by an article that I saw. An article I saw in the New York Times, which is talking about the fame motive. You know, fame, and what is fame, and what does fame mean to people? That is very important. Because in the article, they talked about how people, how psychologists rarely will talk about the need for fame. In fact, it says the field of psychology has ignored fame as a primary motivator of human behavior because it's considered too shallow, too culturally variable, and often mixed with too many other motives to be taken seriously. Immediately, they go from analyzing fame and the need for fame to analyzing narcissism. So I thought about it, and I said, well, what is fame? And I started putting together a few things. To be noted, to be wanted, to be loved, to walk into a place and have others care about what you're doing, even what you're having for lunch that day, that's fame, and that's what people want. It's strange and it's twisted because when that attention comes, very often the person who wants that attention starts screaming about, I want more privacy, I want more privacy, I can't stand the paparazzi, why don't they leave us alone? But the idea of what you searched for in fame was that everybody would recognize you. And so you're caught in the middle of that, and we're going to talk about that today because everybody seems to have a motive to a need to be famous. On some level or other. Maybe not everybody. But surveys in China and Germany have found that 30% of the adults reported regular daydreaming about being famous. About being seen by other people. By the world recognizing them. And then when they interviewed, more than 40% said that they actually got an experience to feel that fame. Remember Andy Warhol once said, 15 minutes of fame. Everybody gets 15 minutes of fame. And it seems like many people did get it. Either you'll get it in sports, or you'll get your fame by being the class valedictorian, or you'll get your fame by doing one particular outstanding thing, or maybe you'll get on the news one day, or maybe you'll call up this radio program and be on the air with me, you know? For teenagers, the rate of desiring fame goes up to 50%. 50% of the people consider the teenagers believe that if they had fame, they would have everything, more than money. You see, it's more than money. It's not just having the fame that gives you the money. It's not the money and the power. It's not the, it's not having a beach house on St. Bart's or a corner office. They want to swivel necks, to light a flare in other people's eyes, to walk into a crowded room and feel the conversation stop. They want to be the kind of person that gets recognized one way or another. They want that. They want that feeling. I am seen. I am known by more than just a few. It doesn't have to be everybody. I remember someone once saying to me, who is John Lennon? Somebody's too young to remember. But I can imagine that there are people who walk around who we know is very famous. Let's say, you know, Jack Lemmon. Right? There are people who won't know him. There are people who won't have any idea about a lot of people out there. Robert Redford, you know, Robert Redford once talked about not being recognized in a grocery store. Because he was somewhere in the Ozarks, you know? And nobody recognized him, nobody stared at him, nobody looked at him. And that's the way it is. P. People with an overriding desire to be widely known to strangers are different than the people who want to have wealth and influence. It's a whole different thing. Some people want success. Other people want fame. They don't care about success. I mean, they care about success, but the success brings them fame. They just want to be well known. You know, it's such a funny thing. In the medical sciences, the doctor who is considered the best doctor is the one who publishes the most papers. They call it publish or perish, you know, and that's in most professional fields. If you don't publish something, then you don't exist. So your fame is dependent on the article you wrote that got accepted, that got in a journal somewhere. And of course, that doesn't have anything to do with how good a doctor you are. But that's what makes you the greatest doctor, because you were published, especially among your peers. You want your peers to look at you and go, oh, there's the guy who wrote the paper on the effects of oxytocycloxamide on Child River breeding rats. You know? I was actually that guy. I actually wrote a paper on the effects of acetoxycycloxamide on memory synthesis in Charles River breeding rats, but nobody ever brought it to my attention. Nobody said, there goes the guy. Nope. Well, what could you do? These yearnings can become more acute in life's later years. You know, you get older and you get older and you... Somebody recognize me. Somebody look at me. Make me important. Especially, you know, you see people with Alzheimer's or any kind of advanced neurological disease as they get older. They keep talking about things they did, important things, and about their friends. I know one man who keeps talking about his one friend in the army, and he keeps talking about this friend, and it makes him important. And you want to think of him. They want to make themselves important because they feel themselves sliding out onto the ice. They feel themselves losing it, you know? They're losing. They say, recognize me, see me, I'm still here, even though they're dwindling, and they're getting smaller, and they feel they're getting weaker. So as you get older, sometimes you really fight for some kind of fame, even if you make it up about yourself. And so what do? There are two routes to go. One common route that older people who have a strong desire to have fame do is they go and they find somebody who considers them a hero. And they will very often find a younger person, whether it be a secretary or something, who will consider them to be a god because they have money and power and so on and so forth. And they have somebody who admires them all the time. And so their fame may be totally limited to one person, but at least they are regarded and they are considered important. But the other thing that people do is they get older, they want posthumous fame, fame after their death. And there's a lot of people who build foundations and they build buildings and they donate money so that their name is attached to it. You know, there it is. It's going to be, I could see the Dambra building. I could see the, you know, these different things that people name after themselves. You know, or they name psychotherapy after themselves, you know. There it is, the Hellinger work. Or it is the, you know, and they name their work after themselves. I always thought that was kind of silly, but they name their work after, but... Then again, I do run the DeMille Center, don't I? Well, that mirror sometimes is just turned so far away I can't see it. It's this belief in the afterlife where people, you know, some people in the medieval days would talk about they couldn't wait to die because they wanted to go on to their better life, you know, and that's how strong it was. The urge to achieve social distinction is evident worldwide. And even among people for whom prominence is neither accessible nor desirable. But in rural Hindu villages in India, for example, widows are expected to be perpetual mourners. You know, and they're austere in their habits, their appetites, and their dress. And they jockey for position. You know, their fame becomes the fame of who they were married to. and how they grieve and how deeply they grieve is what makes them famous. Many people compete for who is the most pure among the mourners, you know. I don't eat fish. I don't eat eggs. I don't even walk into someone's house who has eaten meat, because they are professional mourners, and that's how great a mourning. It's a kind of social comparison. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're trying to look at this whole fame motive and what the fame motive is about. Therapists and researchers, including one Dr. Brim, whose name was Orville Brim, has been working on some of the research for finding the need for fame. He said it's a distinct type, people who expect to get meaning out of fame. They believe the only way to have their lives make sense is to be famous. We want to talk about today the motive. What drives you to want fame? It's kind of obvious, but what do you think it is that drives you to want fame? What do you think it is that makes it so much so that every bit of, and you will sacrifice anything for that little bit of fame? Anything at all. You know, you'll give up your family. You'll give up all of your works. I mean, you become an actor, you know, and then maybe you're going to get on the screen. And then you know you can't support a family doing acting. You know, if you haven't made it by now, you're probably not going to make it. But you want that fame. You want that recognition. You want to be on that stage. You want to be on the playbill. You know, you want to be in the credits. There's a new movie coming out. There's a movie coming out in which there are rolling credits, and I was a part of this movie. And there it was. They were showing it's soon to be released, I think. And in this movie about New York, there are a lot of famous people. Woody Allen, Susan Sarandon are in this movie, and I got a little piece in this thing where I'm talking. So I'm watching the credits roll by as they do them in alphabetical order, and there it was, Woody Allen first, and then Armand DeMille next, and I'm looking at that on the screen, and I saw, oh my God, my name was on a screen, in the big screen, following Woody Allen. I really felt famous. I said, oh my, that means something. Imagine what it's like. Imagine if you're one of those people when they roll the credits that you're the key grip. You know, you know, at the end of the movie they show you, this is a key, he's the best boy, whatever the best boy is, and the key group and the direction assistant manager, and your name is up there. I mean, that means something. And people sometimes will sell their soul for that little bit of fame. But it's not the fame that everybody searches for. Susan Erickson Bolan, daughter of Eric Erickson, wrote that Eric Erickson had the kind of charisma that made people, get this now, hungry to know him. Imagine that feeling, hungry to know that person. I hunger for that person. I hunger to be with that person. I hunger to sit down with him. Think about, you could throw a dinner. And you could have three people, famous people who are alive, sitting at dinner with you. Who would you choose? Come on, now think about this. Think about three people that you would like to have dinner with. Not because you're going to tell your sister that you had dinner with them, but because you would love to have dinner with them. Wouldn't you like to have dinner with Robert Redford? Wouldn't you like to have dinner with you know, somebody, Susan Sarandon. Wouldn't you like to have dinner with? Who would you like to have dinner with? Who would you pick? Pick three names. Three names. You know, you do it, famous people today. People who are known. People who are, you know, who do you want? Do you want the brilliant ones? Do you want the actors? Do you want the actresses? Do you want the beautiful ones? Who do you want to sit opposite? I have met some people who are so beautiful that I felt it almost broke my heart to even look at them. I know of cats that are so beautiful it breaks my heart to look at them. You know? I know it. I mean, you see things that are so beautiful. And sometimes people are like that, you know? People are just gorgeous. And when they're famous and they're gorgeous, it's great to just sit down and look at them. You know, you're like staring at a sculpture. But who would you like to have dinner with? You know, who would you like to sit around casually with? Who would you like to, you know, get high with? Or whatever, you know, you do when you're with people. Who would you like? Yeah, but can you think of three names? Can you think of one name? Do you have one name? Now think of two. Think of two. Think of two names, right? You got two? Go for your third. Because we may, you know, we may take calls and be asking you, who are your three folks that you want to be, have dinner with? Just be served dinner with. You know, you don't even have to make the dinner. Just you'll be sitting in some place and all four of you will just hang out together for 3 hours. Can you get it? You get it? 3 hours? Right? Tom Cruise. No. Who? Okay. Anyway, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, trying to test your own need for fame. What about you? Did you ever get yourself published? Did you ever get your name written anywhere? Did you ever see your name in print? How about this? Go on the internet and put your name in the search engine. Go to Google and put your name in there and see what it comes up with. Now, you'll see, you know, you'll see your name will probably come up in a few spots. I know everybody who works here at the DeMille Center, you know, is now, they may have not had any association with their name, but since I do have a center and since we're on the internet, boom, they get their names. And their names pop up with their pictures, you know, all of a sudden, these people who are, who you wouldn't have known much about, there they are. Another factor may also be at work is that many people who are preoccupied with becoming famous is that it's linked into a subconscious but acute appreciation of how short this life is. Some people think that they will one day, they fix on the attributes that they consider essential to their self-worth, and they feel like they're going to live longer if they're famous. That's what some people believe. Some people believe that fame will actually make you live longer. And the people who feel that way usually become specialists in something. You know, they become specialists to themselves. So it is possible, my friends, that this fame motive really drives people. Some children who grow up in a highly dysfunctional environment. Now, do you know what a highly dysfunctional environment is? It's a bad environment. It's an environment where parental love and parental attention is not immediately available, but there are other things going on that make it just a little too busy for you to get what you need. They're left to struggle. These children are left to struggle with enormous pent-up rage and hostility because almost nothing they do is enough to please their unhealthy, nurturing figures, so say two authors, Schmidt and Howell. So when Schmidt and Howell wrote this article, what they said was that the unhealthy, you try everything you can to get the approval of your nurturing figures, and you just can't get it. You can't get it. And so you get mad, you get frustrated, you get angry. And you could turn yourself inside out like a pretzel, you could try to come up with something that'll win their approval and acceptance, but usually nothing works. So then you go to high school and you get a letter, you know, for being on the chess team or something. And you try to, well, there, now maybe I'll get famous. Maybe you look in your yearbook and you see your name listed somewhere under some sports activity. Maybe now I'm famous. You know, or you try to get some recognition in school, or you get a paper, or you get on the dean's list. All of these things are appealing to the fact that you did not get what you needed at home. If they really impressed you that much, if it made you feel that good when you got it and terrible when you didn't, it means your home life didn't have it for you. Because most children are famous to their parents. See, your parents should treat you like you're famous. They should see you walk in a room. They should say, you know, look who's here. I'm happy to see you. And they're happy to see you and they're fascinated by you. Three famous people I'd like to have dinner with, my three kids. You know, famous to me. Eventually, people who work so hard at trying to get approval split from themselves. They become this kind of image of themselves, the image that's going to win love and approval. They become performers. They become doers, they become givers, they become something that is going to be loved and approved of. But then there's the other side of the coin. If you're somebody who's going to give, you know, and your fame is going to be that you're so nurturing and so wonderful, you know, when you don't get it, you get really mad then too. So then you try to be beautiful. Physically beautiful is good. You know, shorten that skirt, tighten that belt, you know, build your muscles, do whatever you're going to do, and try to get the fame of walking down the street. You know, a whistle or a good look makes you feel good because you're recognized. Because when you're a kid and you're not recognized and not seen in the way that you want to be seen, you search for some kind of fame. In one study, participants who focused on goals tied to others' approval, like fame, reported significantly higher levels of distress than those interested primarily in self-acceptance and friendship. If your goal in doing a task is to be proud to yourself, of yourself, and friendship with others with whom you worked on the task, that's one goal. But if your goal is to become famous and well-reputed for what you did, then the stress of what you're doing takes a much greater toll. That's why the performing arts are so difficult. It's so difficult because the stress is so powerful in what you're doing. You're not looking to develop your own art, although I know dancers who do it just for the sake of dance, and they're looking at themselves dance, and their fame is not that important. But if you're looking to get the recognition, and you must get the recognition, the stress is so strong that you see it. And then those people break down. You know, it's great to be famous, but there's a whole bunch of people who are waiting on the sidelines for the famous person to fall into disrepute, to throw a thing at her handmaiden. You know, like Whitney Houston, to do something wrong, to let out a film, you know, that shows you having sex, like, you know, something disreputable. Like, you know, he fooled around with little boys, you know, that kind of thing. That stuff comes out. And there's a group of people who are the biggest admirers of these famous people who are so happy to see it. They love to see a person fall from grace. So on every side of the people who are admiring you, for every ounce of fame that you search for, there's somebody out there who's just waiting for you to topple. They'd love to see you fall on your face. And then there are some fame seekers who actually slip through and make it. Few celebrities confess to their fame yearnings. If you talk to a celebrity and say, how do you like the fame? Oh, I don't, fame doesn't mean anything to me. And few have ever consented to anything like a psychological study of motivation and psychological well-being. They don't want to be examined too much. But the ones that do make it, there's an interesting thing. The constant attention that comes from fame inflates some celebrities' egos. For others, though, the effect is the reverse. Fame makes you so aware of your shortcomings that you get driven to self-destruction. There are people, you'll see it among 27-year-old rock stars who commit suicide or wind up dying from drug overdoses. You know, the fame makes them actually study their own shortcomings. There is nothing more, I mean, it's kind of amazing if you see yourself on film, or you hear a recording of yourself and you say to yourself, oh my God, I hate the way I sound. I can't stand the way I look. You see your flaws that other people may not see. And so you become more and more critical. Mark Schaller, Dr. Mark Schaller of the University of British Columbia, has surveyed the works of Cole Porter, you know, and John Cheever to see how often they use the first person singular, meaning I. You know, after they became more famous. And the more famous they became, the more they used the first person singular. You know, became more important to themselves. He theorized that the relentless scrutiny of fans and the media leads some celebrities to become acutely self-conscious. Some develop imposter syndrome. They think to themselves, I know that I'm not as great as everybody thinks I am. I remember once seeing a sign that said, "One day I hope to be the kind of person that my dog thinks I am." Well, when you're famous, you know, everybody thinks you're just spectacular and wonderful. And you know you're not. You know you're just a human. And that could be very depressing. And Cobain, the leader of Nirvana, you remember the group Nirvana? As he became famous, and you could see that he got more and more wrapped, he was addicted to heroin, he ultimately killed himself with a shotgun. You know, they say that suicide can be called the ultimate escape from self-awareness that you get through fame. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here with you, trying to talk to you about what happens with fame and understanding fame a little better. So, you know, let's say that as a kid, there are some people, they want others to like and admire them. They know how to turn it on to impress. And this becomes a preoccupation. I want you to think about Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton is a very interesting story. Because Paris Hilton, as wealthy as a person could be, decided a few years ago that she was going to become famous. Now, she couldn't just buy her way into fame. She did it through a number of some good ways, some seedy ways, you know. But she decided that the fame was the only thing that counted. You know, now she's got it going, you know, in one way or another. Now, I know whatever judgments you may have about this, but there are people who really loved, searched for this kind of recognition and fame. People who need fame feel that self-esteem comes from their work and career success more than from personal qualities. It isn't their personal quality that makes them famous. Of course not. It's what you do. They want their work to be outstanding and well-regarded, and they put great, great energy into what they do. And, I mean, it's a terrific amount of energy. It's like you're searching everywhere. And I want to hear from you today, too. I want to hear about you and your own desire to be famous and how you deal with fame. And I want you not to just sit there and judge everyone, because everyone needs attention, encouragement, and affirmation in order to thrive. But there is the fame seeker wants success not so much for the things that it brings or for the power and the feeling of independence. They want fame because they are afraid of disappearing into the chasm of emptiness and worthlessness. Without the increased attention and feeling of accomplishment that fame usually brings, people who search for fame fear that they are nobody. And they have no value. Now, that's the kind of other side of it. You search for it. You want it so much. It's so desperate. You want it. The attention you receive by performing in a certain way came at a high price. And it very often comes at a high price. Very often the sacrifice of a personal life. And then you don't know who you are. And then people love you for what you do. But they don't know who you are. And you feel lost. You feel lost because now everybody knows you for who you're not. And then you have to behave that way. I can tell you, I mean, sometimes if you walk into a room and you're famous, and I've heard this from a few people I know, if you walk into a room and you're famous, and everybody, now somebody recognized you, the minute that somebody recognized you, you can't enjoy your dinner anymore. You're afraid they're going to see you spill something or snap a photograph or do something. And so you're reluctant, you're uncomfortable in a room. And yet, of course, you know, they have to go out and they have to do things. But the minute you're recognized, you become very unconscious. This is why walking down the street in New York, you may see dozens of people, you know, who are terrific and, you know, famous. I think it's best not to go over to them and interrupt them. You know, don't go over and say, "Hey, I wanted to meet you. I wanted to shake your hands." Leave them alone. Let them walk through life for a few minutes. Just be happy you saw them. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Chose you a little music that I thought might might get to you. And I will be, it is just about 1:30 here. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. You can make your calls at 212-209-2900. I'll be taking your calls. Fame is such an interesting thing, you know. Once you disappear for a while, once you fall out, you're gone. You know, from the public eye, it's kind of amazing. It's amazing if you're, you know, you're on radio in a regular kind of a way, and then you're off radio. Who are you? You know, nobody knows you. If you're on, So anyway. Anyway, what about you? What's your relationship to fame, and who would you have over for dinner? You know, who would you have? What three people would you invite to dinner? If you could have three people sitting with you, what three would you choose? 212-209-2900. That's the number here, 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is John from Long Island.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing today, Armand?
Good.
If I could have three people, it would be my family. My two daughters and my wife. And it's funny that your show is talking about this today, because we're actually sitting here together right now having lunch. I called my wife this morning and said I missed her. She came to my office, and now we're having a picnic.
You're having a picnic with me?
Say again?
How come you're listening to the radio if you're having a picnic?
Well, I'm a computer geek, and I'm listening to you online from my wireless laptop.
You're listening to me online through your wireless laptop, and you're doing that while you're having lunch with your family?
Correct.
Put it down. Get rid of this wireless connection.
Well,
go with them. Tell
well,
them.
We are with them.
I know, but turn it off. Say, ah, the hell with him. I'm going to spend this time with you guys with no radio on my ears. And you will have dinner with three very beautiful people. Just an extra half hour of something without any interruption and nothing in the way. And they'll look at you and you'll look at them and you'll touch their face and they'll touch your face and you don't have to say another word, but there'll be no distractions, especially not the big booming voice of some guy on the radio. Just for this one time. Next time you get together with them, put the radio on. But would you give your kids the next half hour undivided attention?
Yes, I will.
Oh, that's a beautiful... Are they around?
They are right now.
Can I speak to them? Yes, let me say
hi,
hello. Hi there. What do you think of having Daddy there without him listening to the radio? Do you think it would be a good idea?
What do you think of me not being on the radio right now instead of us just maybe just running around in the field right now and turning this off? He thinks that maybe we shouldn't be on the radio and we should be spending some quality time together.
You're enjoying it all completely.
My wife says they're really enjoying it as we're eating because they really love Armand.
Oh, they really love Armand. Well, okay, now we understand completely. So they enjoy it too. Thank you very much to all of you. Nice to hear your voices.
Okay, Armand, thank you so much.
Sure, speak to you again.
It was just lovely to listen to your show and hear exactly what we were looking to do today is exactly what you're talking about.
To John. Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Let's take another call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, my name is Evans, Armand.
Hello, Evans.
And I'm going to take that word fame, and I'm going to change it to recognition, and I'm going to say recognition of one's talents.
Okay, how about it?
Okay, so I'm a composer. As a matter of fact, I sent you a CD with a little note on it saying that I'm a composer. And
well, what's your full name?
My full name is Evans Thompson.
Evans Thompson. I saw that CD.
Right. Okay. You should play that CD because now I am certainly frustrated because I look at well, fame is kind of a it's a strange word, but I look at it like this: when you have a talent and you want to share your talent, I'll say with the world, I would say you would want recognition rather than fame. Fame probably comes along with that, but...
No, it's different. I know what you're saying. Some people need a global kind of recognition where everybody knows them. You want recognition for your work and recognition for your talent and recognition for what you believe is just superior stuff. You want to put it out there and you want to say, look, friends, here's what I am giving to you.
And it makes people happy.
Right. Now, I'm sure you've sent it out to a number of people. Have anybody played your music?
Well, I had it played on WHCR. A long time ago, there was a person on KCR that played a couple of my tunes when I was forming myself. But now that I, I have composed, over 60, I would say, good songs. And so I'm published. And maybe that might be a problem there, the fact that I'm published... people don't want to sort of touch me. I don't understand.
It may be that, but you know, I can tell you, and I certainly don't remember the music, and I certainly hope you send it to me again, because I do get many, many albums from
people. Okay, well,
what I want to say to you, and the difficulty with many people, many composers compose music in the privacy of their own world, and they get a sense of the greatness of what they're doing. And I can only tell you, I've known a few people who have done this, that when it hits the public ear, the public doesn't get their intention. The public says, oh, no, I don't like that. Well, it doesn't particularly do it for me.
Well, let me say this.
Sure.
What I did before I finished my CD was, for 3 years, I just handed out my CD with different compilations on it.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I sell my CDs basically from hand to hand. I haven't had one person, and this is honest, because I pride myself on being, honest. I don't pride myself on it, but
you haven't finished the sentence. You haven't had one person do what?
I haven't had one person that didn't tell me that they loved it.
Well, isn't that beautiful?
So, and it's a picture of me on it. It says Evans Thompson. I got my ancestors with me. True story. That's the name of my group. It's a large group.
Okay, now, Evans, thank you. That's about as much PR as I can give you.
Right, okay.
Make sure you send it to me, okay, and I'll take another look.
Okay, listen, my three people that I would like to be with?
Yeah, who?
Would be Art Tatum, number one.
Oof.
Louis Armstrong, number two.
Wow.
And Malcolm X, number three. Now, what I'm going to do, Armand, is
the trouble is, what would you do with these dead bodies? I was talking about three people currently, you know what I mean?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not a celebrity chaser. I'm not, I feel like this. If I'm in the presence of somebody, I'm supposed to be there.
I know what you mean. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, I'm going to give you another CD. I'm going to bring it down.
Sure, just send it up.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have Malcolm X, but I'd be shaking him, say something. I'm talking about three live people. I'd have dinner with Jesus, I'd order fish. I'd order loaves of bread and have them turn it into fish. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. Art Tatum, man, what an interesting person. 212-209-2900. I knew one person I knew who played music in such a way that it was a horror. Now, when I was a kid, I used to hang out at a place called the Finjan Cafe in Greenwich Village. I don't think it's there anymore, but we used to hang out there, and I used to play music, and there were a lot of people playing music, and there was this one character who came by, and he played spoons, and he played harmonica, and I tell you, and he sang, and he had the worst voice I ever heard, and I would say to him, go get that music out of here. It is terrible sounding, and he had a sound that he loved. And his music, he wasn't really musical yet, but it was the sound of his voice was kind of horrendous. And everybody kind of listened to him and said, get that out of here, we don't want that. But he did play a mean set of spoons. And playing spoons is kind of amazing. It's a wonderful acoustical sound. And that person who we sent away saying, your voice is never going to make it, was Bob Dylan. I mean, who now, his voice is certainly unique. And we all laugh at ourselves for how shallow we were. But, in your own privacy, sometimes you do things. Now, sometimes fame is really good. And then let's talk about the Numa Numa dance. Yes, the Numa Numa dance. That poor little guy, I forget his name, a teenager, who did a blog. And on his blog, he voiced the Numa Numa dance. What do you call it when you do that? And so he was just moving his lips, karaoke kind of thing, and he was doing that. And because he was such a funny-looking guy, and he did it so well, he got over 1 million listeners. Now, here he was in the basement of his house somewhere in New Jersey where he lived with his mother. And he started getting calls after calls after calls. People wanted to marry him. People loved him. People thought he was fantastic. People thought... And he was a private guy. But you see, he's one of these real private guys who did this just for himself. And so he hated the invasion. And that frequently happens. Very often you get fame when you're not looking for it. And it's a real invasion. And it's hard to take. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there. You're on the air. I think I could hear somebody. Is there somebody there? 212-209-2900. Well, I am sure we have a caller up there, and there's just some kind of engineering difficulty. Let's see, T-Dub, do we have anybody up there?
Well, they're there, but I'll just, because they're not paying attention, I'll switch over to somebody else.
Okay, switch to somebody else, sure. Hi, you're on the air. I wonder if it's a button problem.
Hello?
Hello there, you're there.
Hi, Armand, how are you?
I'm good.
Isn't that wonderful and marvelous? Listen, I was at work, so I really wanted to find out what you were talking about because I couldn't get to you because I'm at work. So now I said, oh, Armand's on. I better find out.
Okay, I was talking
about... So what's the topic?
I was talking about fame, and I was talking about the price of fame and what makes fame work and how people are with fame. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been famous in your life? Did you ever have one time when you were a star?
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
I used to dance, yeah. I still do, but I mean, you know, just being on stage and everything, I was really the center of attraction.
And when were you the center of attraction? The way you danced?
The way I danced, and of course, I got shot in the play that we were doing. It was part of the dancing and everything else, but I was the person who got shot.
So you got known as the one who got shot.
Yes.
You know the girl who was dancing, the one who got shot? She's my sister-in-law. Well, that is fame. You know what I mean? That is at least a recognition. How did you like it? How did you like being recognized?
I loved it. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be acknowledged like that. You know? And I didn't even know I was going to get chosen at that time. But, you know, all of a sudden they said, hey, you're going to do it. So it was so dramatic, I guess they just let me do it. But I think that was so wonderful that that family was listening to you. You know what I mean? Even though they were eating, they should, you know, that was a good suggestion you gave. But to have a family, I wish I could get my family to listen to you.
Well,
they
you
need
can.
To listen to you.
You can just send it to them. You know, nowadays you can take any program and you email it to somebody.
Exactly. And I think I'll start doing that with my sister, you know.
Not a bad idea. Just don't send her anything that's going to make her feel bad about herself.
Oh, of course not. No,
make her feel
no.
good about herself.
Not at all. We always feel good about you guys over there.
So let me ask you one question. If you could invite three famous people to dinner, three famous people.
Oh, my God. Don't do this to me. Okay. Let's see. Maya Angelou.
Good choice.
Maya Angelou. Oprah.
Interesting person to sit down with, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what I would serve her, though, you know? I don't know what she'd be eating today.
Oh, yeah, right? Well, I think she can bow down to, you know, the people that don't have as much. I think
sure.
she can handle that.
And who else?
You.
And me.
And
what a nice interview. I accept the invitation.
Why, thank you so much, sir.
Me, Maya Angelou, and Oprah Winfrey. Oof.
Yeah,
thank you so much for calling in. And what's your name?
You're welcome. My name is Pat.
Pat, thank you
yes.
so much.
All
I'll
right.
speak
Have
to you again.
Day.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille asking you two questions. Three people that you would like to have sit down with that are famous people. And did you ever have a moment of fame? Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, how you doing? My name is John.
Hello, John.
Okay, yeah, great topic. I just wanted to make an analogy how you made that with Paris Hilton. I found the same kind of thing with Mike Bloomberg, the mayor.
Sure.
Because he's a very wealthy man, and I was always wondering why would he want to become mayor and be all, you know, famous when he was already, he's the guy in charge of Bloomberg News, right, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Him? Yeah, so there he is with all his money. And did he want fame? You know, I don't even know if Bloomberg wants fame.
Okay.
I don't know if he does, because he doesn't act in a way that wants to get his name out there all the time. Not like the previous mayor. What was his name?
Giuliani.
Giuliani with 9/11, you know, and all his fame from that.
And he was very wealthy, Bloomberg. I was like, why would he get into politics when, you know?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, is it a question of he wants, maybe he didn't feel recognized, maybe all that wealth doesn't make a difference, and
true.
Maybe he wanted a different kind of recognition.
True, true. And one more person. It's a guy who helped start a record company, very famous, Def Music Jam, with Russell Simmons, and his partner was a guy named Rick Rubin. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
A little familiar.
Yeah, he's kind of like a hippie-looking guy, but really, really wealthy, but he kind of like stays in the background. I always thought that was interesting, that when people think of Def Jam, they always think of Russell Simmons, but they always forget this guy, Rick Rubin, who's kind of like always been in the background.
Well, you know,
really
there
wealthy.
Are some people who are shadow
okay.
famous, and that means that they like to be connected to shame, to fame, but they like to do it from the shadow. They don't want their name on top because they don't want to become the target.
Gotcha.
They want to be second. You know, they want to be the support.
Right.
They want to be the engineer. They want to be the researcher. They want to be close up top. And in a way, they feel like they're famous because the guy who they're supporting is famous, or the gal they're supporting is famous.
Right, right.
I mean, and think about being Oprah Winfrey's director. And let's say her director was a man, a guy who puts it together, and he puts her on stage, and he got her all that she got. I mean, he's famous, even if people don't know his name.
True.
Look
That's
what
a good
he's
point.
At. Have you ever been famous?
Really?
Not even a moment? Come on.
Yeah, I'm pretty known. I mean, you know, I play
known
sports.
What do you play?
Sports.
And what kind of sports did you play?
Basketball. I was pretty kind of, you know, recognized in that.
Okay, so when you were recognized in basketball, did you play in high school?
Yes, I did.
Okay, when you played in high school, and you, are you a center?
No, guard.
Okay, you're a guard. So you're a guard, and you're playing basketball, and there are times, there are games when you scored more points than anybody.
Right.
Weren't there?
Right.
And people kind of turned to you and said, you are the one who won the game.
Right.
How did that feel?
So great.
Didn't it?
So great, yeah. Famous, yeah. Famous night.
Because, you know, on top of that, when you were a kid, you didn't get that.
Mm.
See, when you were little, in your family, and I know this, you don't have to tell me, there was not enough room for you to get famous. There was not enough room for you to get the recognition you needed. So like most people, you know, you were one of these kids who kind of got lost in the shuffle because everybody was just trying to get by.
True, true. Being the oldest, too.
And being the oldest.
Of a couple of kids, yeah. Yeah, you do kind of get, like, pushed down.
And so pushed down is one place, and then all of a sudden, you go into high school, and there he is. He's like, for a little period of time, people are saying, hey, you know,
right.
We love you, you're beautiful, and we see you.
Right, right. Same thing with good looks, too.
Yeah, and good looks will do that also.
You did a show on that one time. It was real good, too.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay.
212-209-2900. Time for one more call. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I will be back with you tomorrow. I hope to be talking about intermittent explosive disorder. Yes. Tomorrow I want to talk about the people who blow up on an occasional level. Some new research we got about this. It's very interesting. But let's take another call. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Armand. It's Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I was thinking, I'm heading on the road. I'm heading down south, and I'm thinking about who I would like to have dinner with. First of all would be you.
Great.
And I think Bill Clinton and Bill Maher would be terrific. I think that they're very clear-minded and have a good perspective on what's going on in the world. And Bill Maher is hilarious, so I think that would be a lot of fun. And I think Johnny Depp would be the only actor that I think would be interesting. Only
what an interesting group. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What would happen if you invited your mother?
Oh, God, she would love it. My mother would just eat it up and ask a lot of questions. She would be very involved.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I love when my mother's part of the conversation. She's got a very, very clear perspective on things.
So you have a very close relationship with her.
Oh, I love her dearly, yes.
Yeah. Well, send her my best. And I'll say hello to Bill and the other guys for me.
Yeah, the two Bills. What a trip that would be.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
You ever had a moment of fame?
I have.
In what way?
Well, I have a degree in dance and theater, so I've performed a lot. And now I sing with the St. Mark's Choir in the St. Mark's in the Bowery and on 10th and 2nd Avenue. So.
Oh, beautiful choir. Beautiful
choir. Yeah, so we do a lot of eclectic things. It's a very open and eclectic group and just very different types of music every week. So, yes.
Thank you so much. Nice to have you on air.
Okay,
this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I will be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. And I'll be talking about intermittent explosive disorder. And as I leave you with another selection from the album Fame. This will bring back memories to many of you so you could get up there and shake your booty. It's a good thing. This is Hot Lunch. If you want a copy of today's program or if you want to hear it further, you can go to thepositivemind.com, one word, or send me an email, armand@brainlink.com. Back with you tomorrow at 1, my friends.